Maine's Political Pulse is made possible by listeners and by Lee Auto Malls. Introducing Lee Plus, a pre-owned vehicle maintenance program. Learn more at leeauto.com.
Welcome to the latest edition of Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Erwin Gratz, along with State House Bureau Chief Steve Missler and State House reporter Kevin Miller. The next state budget has come to the forefront some 3 months ahead of usual. Steve Missler, let's begin by reminding people how measures the legislature approves and the governor signs actually become law.
So generally speaking, Erwin, bills that pass the House and Senate on a straight majority vote go into effect 90 days after the governor signs the legislation or allows it to become law without her signature. Bills that pass with supermajorities, that is, two-thirds of the House and Senate, can be enacted as emergencies, meaning they go into effect as soon as the governor signs it. In the context of the budget, Erwin, those two methods of enacting legislation are critical. And that's because in Maine, the two-year budget expires in odd-numbered years on July 1st. And because Maine doesn't allow deficit spending like Congress does, the government shuts down if the legislature doesn't enact a new budget by July 1st. That's happened twice, most recently in 2017, a relatively short but bitter shutdown that really wrecked whatever remained of the relationship between Democrats and a segment of the GOP that had aligned with former Republican Governor Paula Page. And I think the 2017 shutdown fundamentally changed how budget negotiations are conducted because it showed how a minority of lawmakers whose votes are needed to pass the budget as a supermajority can basically run out the clock. A government shutdown is their leverage, but the majority can neutralize that if it moves quickly and enacts the budget at least 90 days before July 1st. And that's what is in play right now with the current budget bill.
All right. So when one party does control the legislature in the Blaine House, they can pass whatever they want as long as they act by April 1st. Kevin Miller, as we heard, that's happened only a couple of times in recent decades. Why hasn't it happened more often?
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. And there are both political and practical reasons for that. On the practical side, because of that 90-day delay that Steve just talked about for a new bill to become law, the legislature would have to complete its work by April 1st. And these are massive bills. You know, we're talking about $8, $9 billion budgets, and the lawmakers typically take months and months to review them. They could just take whatever the governor proposes and pass it into law. But that's usually not how things work here in Maine. But politically speaking, the tradition has developed over the past several decades where crafting the budget is very much a bipartisan effort. Democrats and Republicans on the budget writing appropriations committee, they spent months reviewing the governor's proposal in very minute detail. And they hold public hearings, they get feedback from the committees that deal with those specific areas of state government. And while there are always political differences and tensions, That spirit of kind of cooperation typically carries through all the way to the end when they can send a bipartisan budget to the full legislature in order to get that two-thirds vote. We've only had those two government shutdowns in the past 30 years in 1991 and 2017, but we have had a handful of so-called majority budgets passed by the party in power during that time. And the most recent of those happened just 2 years ago when it was pushed by the Democratic majority, really at the height of the COVID pandemic. And part of the reason for that was this lingering political distrust between Democrats and Republicans over the 2017 shutdown involving former Governor LePage.
Well, how have the budget talks gone so far?
Well, Erwin, I think the talks that have taken place among members of the budget writing committee have gone okay. But the reality is that while the committee has some autonomy to negotiate large portions of the budget, the most contentious issues are really a negotiation among legislative leaders and to some extent, the governor. There's been no measurable progress on those contentious issues, which is why the governor huddled with the legislative leaders earlier this week to basically assess where things stand and to lay out a path for both sides to come to some sort of an agreement. If there is no agreement, then Democrats can basically do whatever they want. They just have to do it quickly. And that means passing some kind of a budget by the end of next week so that Governor Mills can sign it and avert a shutdown.
So are there particular issues that have emerged that each side is pursuing?
So Republicans are pushing hard for some sort of income tax breaks. They're pointing out that Maine state government has been running on a surplus for a few years now, and that's expected to continue into the near future, absent that recession that seems to be potentially looming around any corner. But you know, Republicans are basically saying when the state coffers are too full, that means Mainers are paying too much in taxes. They also want Democrats to abide by a spending cap, which became effective when the state hit that 55% funding threshold for schools. And that just happened. Democrats and Governor Mills, meanwhile, they want to continue funding those major initiatives that they've put in place in recent years, including the 55% school funding, which Republican leaders also do support. But Democrats also point out that the state is also now providing free community college tuition to recent high school grads. All students around the state now qualify for free lunch and breakfast. And then there are just these major, major needs when it comes to affordable housing, the drug epidemic, the backlog of court cases, you know, the asylum seekers that are arriving in Portland. So the parties really agree on a lot of things, but that tax issue is definitely one of the more partisan issues.
So, Kevin, what does that mean for the prospect of Democrats pushing through a so-called majority budget before the end of the week?
Things are evolving pretty rapidly on that front. Earlier in the week, the buzz around the State House was that Democrats were planning to basically brush aside Republicans and pass this majority budget by April 1st in order to take a government shutdown off the table. And Senator Trey Stewart, who was the Republican leader in the Senate, told reporters on Tuesday that this was a major concern for his party.
All signs point to that, which is unfortunate, I think. I think if that does happen, I've said this to others and I'll say it again, that would be a tremendous blow to the institution that is the legislature and the process that we are supposed to be utilizing here in the state of Maine.
But just an hour or two later, Stewart and most of the Democratic and Republican leaders, as well as the budget negotiators, were all huddled up in Governor Mills' office during that meeting that Steve just mentioned. And this basically seemed like Mills calling everyone together and saying, okay, put your cards on the table and let's get the conversations going. And when everybody emerged from that meeting, they all pretty much said they were sworn to secrecy, but they also made clear that talks were continuing. And that's certainly a good thing in this respect.
All right. Well, Steve, we're now hearing about a proposal from Democrats that they might split the budget into two pieces, passing a measure providing baseline funding for state agencies in the coming week, but still negotiating other parts of the budget with Republicans until later this spring. What would the benefit of all of that be, and what do Republicans think of it?
So I think the practical benefit is that passing a baseline budget by next week would avert a government shutdown. The political benefit, for Democrats anyway, is that it's not a total abandonment of bipartisan negotiations, which arguably still means something to the broader public. For Republicans, the practical benefit is that they'll have a chance to negotiate a tax cut, and they'll have time to cook up a plan, which they have not done thus far. That's one of the problems and a sticking point in the negotiation. They'll also be able to negotiate other spending initiatives in the budget. I suppose the downside for the GOP is that they lose a bit of leverage by taking the prospect of the shutdown off the table. But that was going to happen no matter what. So perhaps they'll view this as a more agreeable alternative to getting sidelined from the process altogether. I think it's also worth noting that what's happening here is pretty similar to the process that unfolded 2 years ago. Back then, Democrats passed a baseline budget early, right around this time, to avert a government shutdown. But then they and Republicans negotiated a pretty significant change to that baseline budget a couple of months later that passed with supermajorities. So while Republicans were really upset that Democrats used their majorities 2 years ago to pass that baseline budget, they ultimately ended up getting some things that they wanted later on. And that seems to be the possibility here, which may be why they haven't rejected this approach, at least publicly, and at least not yet.
Peter Mills, who's the executive director of the Maine Turnpike Authority, who used to serve in the legislature, was telling the authority board this week that when his grandfather was in the legislature, they actually finished their work for the year on March 22nd and didn't return until 2 years later.
Wow. So, I wasn't aware of that, which is pretty wild to think about it, because what seems to happen these days is that the real work starts late and ends very late. they don't really seem to get going here until like February, mid-February, with public hearings, no matter what they're on. You know, maybe, you know, if things go the way they seem to be going right now, maybe what you're seeing this year and then 2 years prior is perhaps a new standard in the budget negotiations, especially when one party controls everything, which is the case right now with Democrats. So that could be the way. I mean, the idea of sort of pushing off that prospect of a government shutdown really early, I think might actually give them a little bit more room to negotiate and do so in good faith, which really has been, you know, a problem in the past because there's just a lack of trust between the two parties.
Right. And I'll just add that I'm not sure what the situation was when Peter Mills and Governor Mills, I guess, grandfather was in the legislature. But nowadays we have 2000 plus bills that are being introduced. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that was not the case back then. And just we were at a point where they're up to printing about half of those bills. So it takes time.
And they just lit a bunch in yesterday. The Legislative Council lit in more bills after deadline bills yesterday. So they just keep on coming.
Maine Public's State House Bureau Chief Steve Missler and reporter Kevin Miller. They'll be watching those budget talks, and we'll have more on Maine's Political Pulse next week. New versions of the podcast drop each Friday afternoon at mainepublic.org or wherever you find your podcasts. You can get a jump on the political news with the Maine's Political Pulse newsletter. It comes out Friday mornings, and you can read it on mainepublic.org or sign up to have it emailed to you. Also, you can join Steve and Kevin with Jennifer Rooks on Maine Calling. That'll be Friday morning at 11. Music is by Rob Holt. I'm Erwin Gratz. Do join us again soon for another edition of Maine's Political Pulse.